Let's go, Shoreline! Hey, in case we haven't met, my name is Will McElroy. I'm the men's Shoreline coordinator. I got hired about 6 months ago, and I love this ministry. I love my job. I love all of you guys, and I love this series we're doing. I love that I'm glad you asked. I love what Jermaine's talked about. I'm excited to see what we're going to talk about in the future, and I'm really pumped up about tonight, which is, should I date in high school? That's the question we are going to be asking tonight, and hopefully that I can provide some answers. Should you date in high school? But before we even get into the question, I was sitting with Jermaine talking about the message and just asking him, hey, where do you think I should start this message? And he said, you need to tell the pineapple story. I was like, okay, I'll tell the pineapple story. And so this story, the pineapple story, it starts in about 8th, 9th grade. So I'm maybe 13, 14 years old, a little younger than you guys. And it's about the time, that age in life where you get your first crush, right? You start to like your first girl, or if you're a girl, you start to like your first boy. And her name was Allie, which, funny enough, is the name of my wife. And so Allie, I start noticing things about Allie. You know, it sounds kind of stalkerish, but I started noticing like her school schedule, like where she sat at lunch and what she ate for lunch, right? I noticed what she brought for lunch. And every day, guess what was in her lunchbox? Pineapple. And I noticed it. I was taking notes, you guys. And so Valentine's Day comes around. People, love is in the air. I'm like, man, it's time for me to get up and ask Allie to be my girlfriend. So on the way home from school, I'm like, you know, should I get her flowers? And I said, no, I need to get this girl a pineapple. I need to get this girl some pineapple. She loves pineapple. And so I'm on the way home to school with my mom. She's driving me home. And I say, Mom, we have to stop at the grocery store. And she's, why do you have to stop at the grocery store? I said, I need a snack. I just need to get a snack. And she's just laughing. She's like, okay. And so we stop. I go in. I've got $5. I see the canned pineapple. I'm like, no, this doesn't look right. I see the box pineapple that's already pre-cut. I'm like, hey, maybe this could be it. But then out of the corner of my eye, I see the actual pineapples. And I'm like, this is what Allie wants. I know she wants an actual pineapple. So I get an actual pineapple, go check out, keep the change, right? I'm going out to the car with an actual pineapple. My mom is like, what is going on? I'm like, just don't ask questions, Mom. And I go to school the next day, and I say, Allie, will you be my girlfriend? And of course she said yes. Who wouldn't, right, if you gave them a pineapple? And so I've got my first girl, you guys. I'm 13 years old, got my first girlfriend. She's got her pineapple. We're ready to go. And things start going, like, really strong, you guys. Things start moving really well. A week in, 2 weeks in, we didn't really talk at school, you know. We just texted, though, at home. We'd go home and text and say, how was your day, all that stuff. And then about 2-3 weeks in, when I say we're going strong, we're going real strong, because my phone, it buzzes. I look at it, and it's a text from Allie. 3 words. I love you. 3 weeks in, you guys, my heart is racing. And I start freaking out. What do you say? I was like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to say it back yet. And so I start to type out. I say, that's interesting. Or like, thanks, you know? And I'm like, no, I can't say that. I can't say that. And so I remember exactly what I said. This is one of the biggest moments of my life. And I said, I love you too, LOL. Verbatim. And I just throw my phone down. I'm like, okay, I did it. This is crazy. This is wild. My first love. I'm like, we're going to get married. Like, I just know it. And then guess what? 2 hours goes by, nothing. She ghosts me. A day goes by, 2 days go by, 3 days go by. I told you, we didn't talk at school. We just texted, nothing. She's not texting me. She's not DMing me. And so finally, I'm like, I need to talk to Allie about this. And so I find her at school, at her locker. And I say, hey, Allie, I thought we loved each other. What happened? And what she said broke my heart. She said, about that, I meant to send that to Victoria, her best friend Victoria. She said, I meant to send that to Victoria. And I'm like, okay, I'm heartbroken. I'm like, so you don't love me? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't really mean to send it back either. Like, I didn't really mean to say back. So, like, we can kind of press the brakes on this and then take a few steps back and keep dating. And she's like, no, it gets worse, Will. My mom reads our text messages. And she thinks we're moving too fast. And so we have to break up. And here I am, 13, 14 years old. My first breakup is tragic. I wasted all my summer money on a pineapple. And here I am, heartbroken, listening to Adele songs. And it's just tragic, right? And then it gets worse, right? Because year after year, forget Allie, I start going through high school and college. And I know that's just a silly story of a 13-year-old boy who's in love and gets heartbroken. But then things start to get more serious with other girls later in high school and in college. And I start pushing boundaries and dating gets messier and messier. And my heart just, after each relationship, just breaks more and more. And I know this is a question we're getting asked a lot. Should I date in high school? And I know we're getting asked it a lot because some of you guys have realized what I realized at 14 years old, that dating and relationships are complicated, that they're messy, that they cause wounds. And so the question we're asking tonight is a question that a lot of you curious students are asking. Should you date in high school? And before we start asking that question, I want to tell you guys something that I thought was really wise that I was sitting with John Scott Hawkins, who's a student here. And I asked him, I said, John Scott, what do you think? Do you think students should date in high school? And he said, I think that's a dumb question. And I said, why? And he said something along the lines of, well, it should just be, should I date? Not should I date in high school. It should just be, should I date? Because here's the reality of it. John Scott's right. I know 20-year-olds that shouldn't date. 20-year-old Will, 19-year-old Will shouldn't have been dating. I know 30, 40, 50-year-olds that should not be dating. And so tonight I want to rephrase the question, should you date? Forget about high school. Should you date now? How do you know when you're ready to date? So that's the question we're going to be answering tonight. And do you ever have, sometimes you ask a question to someone and they answer your question with a question? It's kind of annoying, but that's exactly what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to answer that question with three questions. And I think if you can honestly answer yes to all three of these questions, that you are ready to date. And so they should be on the screen right here. We're going to go through them. The three questions are this. Am I a follower of Jesus? That's the first one we're going to look at. And the second one is, am I healthy? And the last one is, am I dating for a purpose? And so one by one, we're going to go through all the three of these questions. So let's start with number one. Am I a follower of Jesus? And when I ask that question, I'm not asking, have you checked the box and said, I'm a Christian? I'm not asking, are you just saying you're a Christian so you can get to heaven. What I'm really asking when I say, are you a follower of Jesus? Are you with all your heart, mind, and soul passionately pursuing after Christ? Because I can promise you this, if you want Jesus to lead your relationship, then you need him to lead yourself first. Because if you are dating without Jesus, you're dating without a guide, and you're going to get hurt. You're going to get confused. You're going to get lost. Your relationship is going to be immature. It's going to be tossed and blown by the wind. It's going to be deceived to. It's going to be lied to. All that's going to happen if you're dating without Jesus. But if you are dating with Jesus, look at Ephesians 4:14. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. So if you are dating without Jesus, you are dating without a guide. And here's a story just to illustrate that point. Grew up in a small town. We didn't have much to do like there's in Dallas, so we went fishing a lot. I found out I hated fishing. And you just sit there for hours and hours, don't catch anything. It's just out there by the pond, it's like, what are we doing? We spent 3 hours out here and we caught two fish. Like, this is not fun. And then I went on a vacation to Oregon my senior year. And we were in a cabin next to a beautiful creek, crystal clear, cool waters, just teeming with fish. And we decided, hey, we need to go fishing. Get a fishing guide and have him take us down this river and catch fish. And so that's exactly what we did. And this guide, he picked us up in his boat. He told us, he gave us like his own poles and lures and bait, and he told us, use this bait, cast over there and you will catch a fish. And sure enough, he was right. Everywhere he told me to cast, he said, you'll catch a fish. And I did. I caught a fish. We caught fish for hours and hours. We caught dozens and dozens of fish. I couldn't keep count. And anytime things got slow, he's like, let me take you a different spot. And he would take us to another spot. And he guided us. He led us. And I know you're thinking, of course, Will's using a fishing analogy for a dating talk. But my point is this, is that without a guide, you're going to get lost and confused. But just like I had a guide for fishing, he showed me what to do. He showed me the way. And so what I'm saying tonight is that, hey, Jesus has given you his word. His word is always true. It's always valid. It's always helpful. And he's given it to you as a guide. And so if you are not following Jesus and he's not leading you, your relationship is going to become confused and immature and tossed by the wind, because the world is going to lie to you. It's going to try to deceive you, and it's going to deceive your relationship if you're not being led by Jesus. And part of following Jesus looks like being surrounded by community. There's a phrase I've heard is, don't date in the dark, right? And Jesus, he's asked every believer to be in community, to be a member of a church, to be serving, to be surrounded by his people, because God knows that his people speak truth to one another, that they encourage one another, that they edify one another. And so if you're wanting to date, I want you to look around your friends and say, hey, am I surrounded by godly people that will correct me, that will show me, that will tell me the truth? And let me be honest with you guys, whether you like it or not, your parents are part of your community. Because some of you are following Jesus. Some of you at the end of this talk, you may say, hey, I am ready to date. I can honestly answer yes to all those questions. And your parents are saying no. And you already know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, follow your parents. Because the heart is this. The heart is not just to blindly follow your parents, but the heart is that God and his authority, he's ordained that your parents have authority over you for this season of your life. And I know, trust me, I know that at some points it just feels terrible. And at some points, maybe your parents will fail you. In fact, they will fail you if you haven't found that out already. But right now, God has said, he has said, look in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents, for it's right. And guess what? He says this. God says this. He says, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so the Bible is saying that it will go well for you if you honor your parents. The Bible promises you that it will go well for you if you honor your parents. And so what God is saying here, when he says, honor your parents, what I think he's really asking is saying, will you trust me? Will you honor your parents? And by honoring your parents, honor me. Will you trust me in that? So point number one, question number one I want you to ask tonight, if you're thinking about dating, is, am I following Jesus? And again, not just a check the box faith, but are you following the commands he's asked you to follow, not for the sake of legalism, but out of the heart of just saying, Lord, you are my inheritance, you are my portion, you are my prize, and I want to follow your will, and I want you to lead me before I try to help lead a relationship. So again, question number one, am I a follower of Jesus? Let's keep moving. Question number two, am I healthy? Now, when I became a serious believer in college, I was able to answer yes to question number one. I was following Jesus. And I tried to start dating. And it was a mistake because I was not healthy. On the outside, I looked great. I was doing the things that Christ had commanded me to do. And I was genuinely following Christ with all of my heart, mind, and soul. But there were wounds. There were scars in my life that I had not addressed, that I had not invited Christ into, and I had baggage. And so relationship after another, I brought that baggage, and I hurt myself, I hurt other girls, and the best thing I could have done in that moment was to not date. yet I kept trying to. I kept trying to cover each relationship with another one, And it was a mistake because it hurt people. And so my point is this, unhealthy people hurt people. I have a truck. I have an old truck, a 2007 Chevy Silverado. And on the outside, it looks, it doesn't look like a brand new Tesla. I know that, right? It's got its scars. It's got its missing paint. But I think most of you guys, if y'all were in a pinch and said, hey, Will, I need a ride, you would gladly step in that truck. And you would feel safe and confident that, hey, it ain't pretty, but it's going to get me from point A to point B. Am I right? And so a year ago, you would have been wrong. A year ago, you would have been so wrong to get in the car with me, because here's the problem. One day I was driving down the road and my truck just turned off. It just stopped, guys. I'm not even kidding. Like, it just turned off and I was just trying my hardest to find an exit ramp. And I was like, that was crazy. So I just turned, like, I just sat there for 15 minutes and it turned on like nothing happened. And I was like, okay, I guess that was just a fluke. Well, it kept doing it. And at any moment, I could be going down 75, 35, 635, 75 miles per hour, and my truck would just turn off. And so I would be trying to scramble to an exit ramp, and like, oh my gosh, I am about to die. Like, people are about to wreck into me. And so after about a couple of months of this happening, my wife was like, Will, we got to get this fixed. You're going to die if this doesn't get fixed. And so I take it to the mechanic, and he's like, I can fix it. And he replaces one part, and it fixes for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then the problem comes back. So I take it to another mechanic, and he says, I know the problem. I can fix it. Same thing. He replaces one part. A couple weeks later, it's broken again. It's doing the same thing, just turning off. And so finally, I go to a guy named Steve, one of my dad's employees. He's about 75 years old. He's a handy with trucks, I guess. And he said, Will, I can fix it. And Steve is just a guy, he's a good old boy that you just trust. And so he took my truck, he took all the wires out, stripped all the wires out, and replaced them completely. And my truck has been fixed ever since. Completely repaired it. And so I think some of you guys tonight, y'all have problems that aren't healthy. And like my truck, it's only a matter of time before you crash and burn. That there are some deep problems that you have just been patching, and it works for a few months. It works maybe even a year, and you just try to patch it and cover up. And then it just, at any moment, if people find out, you're going to wreck. You're going to crash. And now I know maybe some of you are wondering, who's he talking about? Who's he talking about tonight? Well, I may be talking about you. Look, let me be very clear. If you want to know you're unhealthy, are you masturbating every week? I'm talking about you. Are you watching porn every week? I'm talking about you. Do you have a binge eating disorder or eating disorder? Talking about you. Do you think a good time on a weekend looks like going and drinking a little bit with your friends? That's what I'm talking about. And I know some of you hearing that, y'all just feel some weight on your shoulder. You feel some guilt and some shame. And I hate that. I hate that for you. And I have good news for you. The best news for you. If that's you tonight, if you can answer yes to any of those questions, I have the best news for you. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So Christ is saying, hey, I have come and died for you. I've died for the porn, for the alcohol, for the eating disorders, for masturbation. I died for that. And if you believe in me, then you're free. And for freedom, I've set you free. Not so that you will go back to your addictions. Not so you'll go back to slavery, but so you will live in freedom and advance the gospel. And I know some of you are thinking, well, there's no way. There's no way I can be free. you can be free tonight. Romans 8:1, therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can be there tonight. You could be there now. You could pray right now, God, I have run from you. I spent my life running from you. I know I'm not healthy. I know I need you. I know your son died for me, God. I know you raised him from the dead. I know that is true. Will your spirit enter my heart, God? You can pray this tonight, and he will do it. He is faithful to do it. And so, again, when I say, are you healthy? I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm asking, are there wounds in your life that you need to address before you bring in another person into your life? God wants you to be healthy, not so you can date, but so that you can become closer to him. And so to close this point, am I healthy? I want all of us to say this prayer all the time. Forget about dating. I try to say this prayer often. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, it says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. What an awesome prayer to pray. God, you know me. I don't know me. I don't know me even as well as you know me, God. I know I have blind spots. I know there's things I don't see. Can you point them out in me? So point number one was this. Am I a follower of Jesus? Next thing I would want you to ask is, are you healthy? Are there wounds you need to bring Christ into before you bring another person into? So the last one, am I dating for a purpose? I think I can look around this room, and I've gotten to know a lot of you over the last 6 months, and I am so encouraged by the fact that a lot of you are following Jesus. A lot of you are healthy, and that is just so amazing to me and so encouraging to me. But I think this last question is, are you dating for a purpose? It's hard for high schoolers to answer. It's hard for high schoolers to answer. Because let me tell you this. The purpose of dating is for marriage. And if you're not dating for marriage, you are dating for a breakup. If you're not dating for marriage, you are dating for a breakup. And the world is going to try to tell you, you're young. It's time to have fun. Try it before you buy it, right? You need to get your mistakes out of the way now. You need to practice dating and figure out what you like. So that way when you're in college and in your 20s and it starts to get more serious, you'll be good at it, right? That's what the world is telling you. It's telling you, have fun. I know it feels good to be liked. It's saying, go pursue that. Go pursue that. But the world is lying. This is what the Bible says. It says, 2 Timothy 2:22. Davis read it in his testimony. It says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Notice there, before we even read the rest of it, it says, flee youthful passions. It doesn't say fight them. It doesn't even say fight your youthful passions. It says run away from them. And while you're running from them, pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So flee the youthful passions and run to God. I think it's a youthful passion to date just for the sake of dating, just for the fun of it, just for pleasure. And I know it feels good to be liked. Trust me, I was there. I learned the hard way, and I have the scars in my heart to prove it. I learned the hard way. I know it feels good. And I know if we took a poll in this room, and I've asked a lot of you, so I know this is true, and if I said, hey, is dating in high school worth it? A lot of you would say no. Until someone starts liking you. Until someone starts showing interest in you. And then you're like, hey, actually, this feels kind of good. It feels good to be liked. It feels good to push boundaries I said I would never push. So when that time happens, if you're not ready to be married, don't date. What I mean by that is I don't want you to be that couple that dates for 8 years. So if you're not ready to be married, do not pursue a relationship. And here's the problem. I think, and can I just confess to you guys, I think as a church, and I think I'm speaking for culture too, I think we've failed you. I think we have let you down because we have failed to elevate singleness and the gift that is singleness. You see, Paul even says, and you guys have probably heard this, but 1 Corinthians 7:7, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. And not that singleness is better than marriage. People can debate that. People have debated that. But Paul's saying, hey, I wish everyone were single as I am. And I think the church has failed you in teaching that. And culture has failed you because we elevate relationships above everything else. You want that arm candy to post on Instagram. I know. We just elevate marriage above everything else. We elevate relationships above everything else. You want the respect of having a girlfriend. But the Bible says, hey, that is a youthful passion. And I wish everyone were single as I am. Why does it say that? Let me tell you. The gift of singleness is this, is that you are completely undistracted. You are just completely focused on Christ. You're able to serve with your whole heart with reckless abandon. You're able to say yes to a mission trip. You're able to say yes to going to work at camp. You're able to say yes to doing just anything that advances the kingdom of God. It's easier to read your Bible in the morning when you're single. I'm telling you that right now. It's easier. You're just less distracted when you're single. And then Watermark uses this analogy a lot of, hey, 2 Timothy 2:22, whenever you are just pursuing righteousness along with those who call on the Lord, along with his people, there may be a day where you're pursuing the Lord with your whole heart and you look next to you and you see someone else who's pursuing the Lord with their whole heart, who's single, and you're saying, hey, let's get married. Let's do this forever. And I'm not saying that will happen. I'm saying that may happen. It's the way it should happen. And so for me and my life, I'm married. To be in all honesty, I'm married. You guys probably know that. And I know it's easy for me to give a dating talk when you're married. But I was single at one time. And I've told you this before already earlier in the message, is that I experienced the hurts and the pains of dating poorly. And there was a season in my life where I said, hey, I'm going to flee those youthful passions. And I just want to pursue Christ and serve him. And so there I am one day at Canacook. I've had a long season under my belt of just enjoying my singleness, serving the kingdom of God. And I look at Cooper McCullough, who some of you guys know. He worked at Canacook. He now works here at Watermark for Wake. And I look at him and I say, Cooper, I could do it, bro. And he says, do what? And I say something along the lines of like, I could be like Paul. I could be like Paul. I could be single forever, man. And he's just like, okay. He just kind of laughs and is like, okay. But I was so serious, you guys. I was half joking, but in my heart, I was like, I really do just love this season of singleness right now. And then a week later, I meet this girl named Allie Haig. Her name is now Allie McElroy. And let me tell you guys, she was pursuing Christ with all of her heart, mind, and soul. She had never dated anyone before. She had fled the youthful passions of the world. She was loving younger women, discipling younger women. She was making the hard decision to get in the Word every day. And so one day, a pastor got up on stage and he said, hey, I'll give $40 to anyone who asks a girl out right now on a first date. I'll give $40 to anyone who asks a girl out on a first date right now. It was a no-brainer. I got up, went to the stage, grabbed the mic, and said, Allie Haig, will you go on a date with me? And she said yes. She said yes. And I think there's a picture coming up of us. There it is. Look, hey, there's us. And let me tell you guys, that truck in the background, that same truck, my truck broke down when I went to go pick her up. I went to go pick her up on my first date, and my truck broke down. It got stuck in park. It wouldn't switch to drive. And so my truck was literally, we had to push it into a ditch to get it out of the way from the front gate. And I was like, man, is she going to like ditch me because of this? But I've got an awesome wife. In fact, I think she loved me more because of it. So we got in her Ford Escape and we went and got dinner. And then 2 years later, we're married. And let me tell you guys, if I'm being honest with you, I had wounds from relationships that I had to deal with before coming into a relationship. And then scars that my wife and I, we had to address. Wounds that were caused because I was not able to answer yes to all three of those questions. My wife, on the other hand, she pursued singleness. She pursued a relationship with Christ her whole life. She was healthy, and man, she just was living without relationship baggage. And she was better for it. So let's look at the questions one more time. Am I a follower of Jesus? Am I healthy? Am I dating for a purpose? If you can say yes to all of those questions, I think you're ready to date. But look, I've talked to a lot of students and they're like, hey, Will, are you going to tell us like, yes, we can date without saying yes, or tell us no, we can't date without actually saying no? I hope you look at these questions, and I don't know each and every one of you and each and every one of your stories. I think there are people in this room that can date, but I think it's rare. I think it's very rare for a high schooler to be able to date wisely and in a biblical, godly way with an intention for marriage. So leaving this, I want you to ask these questions to yourself, and not just to yourself, but to your leaders, to your parents, to your friends, and say, hey, is dating what's best for me right now? And I also want you guys, going back to that second point, am I healthy? Forget about relationships for a second. There's some addictions in this room that you've been hiding and suppressing. And just like my truck, it could wreck any time and hurt people. And so if that's you, forget about dating tonight. Go find your leader. Me, Jermaine, Kaylee Wright, others, we'll be around here. Find us. Confess that. I've never met one person who regretted confessing something. You can be free tonight. So let me pray for that. God, I thank you. I thank you for dating. I thank you for marriage and just relationships and the people that you have given in our life. And that you have allowed us just to pursue each other and pursue the beauty of marriage. But I also just thank you equally for singleness and just what a gift singleness is to be able to just serve and love you with reckless abandon. And so I just pray for all these students, God. I don't know where all of them are at tonight. I don't know if they're ready, but I know you know, God. And so I pray that as these students wrestle with these questions, that you help give them answers. That Psalm 139, God, that you show them. That you show them, God, give them clarity, that you show us what offends you, and that I know there are things that people are hiding, that there are wounds deep in our hearts tonight, God, and I know that you want those things to come into the light. I know that you want to invade those dark spaces and just bring your light into them, and so I pray that happens tonight, God. I pray you give students courage just to speak out and confess their addictions, their sins tonight, God, and that you're able just to come in there with your spirit and bring light to those dark places. So God, we thank you, we love you, and in your name we pray, amen.